Hello, thank you for coming to this presentation. I'm Swapna Dave from Northwestern University.
And I'm Himali Purja from Metropolitan Asian Family Services.
So this is going to be a co-presentation between the academic and the community partner. We have no relationships to disclose. So let me start with some background about who South Asians are. South Asians are individuals who come from the South Asian countries of India, Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka. There are about 3.4 million South Asians in the US, and what's striking is they're at high risk for early and severe atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease and diabetes, in addition to higher rates of physical inactivity and overweight and obesity. This particular study describes the lessons learned from a process evaluation of a randomized controlled trial of the SAHALI, which is the acronym for South Asian Heart Lifestyle Intervention. This is a culturally tailored healthy lifestyle intervention in a community-based setting with medically underserved South Asians. Why are process evaluations important? They're important because they help us interpret results of health interventions, understand the patient-centered outcomes, and also help us evaluate implementations, and this is why we conducted this study. This is a study setting. This is a very big South Asian enclave in Chicagoland. This is it's situated on a long street of called Devon Avenue. It's in the neighborhoods of West Ridge and Rogers Park, one of the largest South Asian business districts in the U.S. Majority of the residents here are Indian or Pakistani, are more recent immigrants, and medically underserved. This study is conducted at Metropolitan Asian Family Services, MAFS, which is situated here, and it provides social services to immigrants, specifically a lot of South Asian immigrants in this community. Let me start by talking about the relationship between Northwestern University that I'll be referring to as NU and MAFS, Metropolitan Asian Family Services. So in 2006, we started working together, which is when Northwestern approached MAFS and said, can we start working with you? Since, you know, you have a community setting where you see a lot of South Asian people or serve a lot of these people. So they helped us recruit participants into one of our NIH studies, which was to develop a heart disease prevention video for South Asians. In 2010, we approached MAFS saying, now we know each other for a long time, can we apply for a seed grant based on CBPR principles? Which a lot of you guys know here, CBPR is community-based participatory research. So when we went to the executive director of MAFS, we approached them and said, can we apply for something together to conduct a physical activity intervention for South Asians? And that's when when MAFS said, you know, can we step back? Can we try and understand what are the physical activity levels there? So that's really when we started the CBPR approach, even trying to rethink the research question. So in 2010, we applied for a small seed grant, which we received from Alliance for Research in Chicagoland Communities. And
we have also received an NIH funding in 2012 to conduct a SAHALI intervention. And fortunately, in 2014, we have received more funding from NIH to lead an exercise program for South Asian women and children.
And all of these studies are based on CBPR principle. We'll be talking more about the NIH funding we received in 2012, the SAHALI intervention. Let me start talking about some components of the SAHALI intervention. So the SAHALI intervention is based on, like I emphasized, CBPR principles. It's a collaboration between NU and MAFS. Although NU would write the protocol, we would go back to MAFS, present it to them, and they would give us feedback, and we would incorporate them. Just a small example is we did not have incentive because we didn't think incentives are necessary for people to exercise. That's when MAFS said, no, these people work really hard. You know, you need to include this to cover for the transportation cost. So, I mean, it was a true collaboration. The recruitment and classes were conducted at MAFS, and we had a community advisory board who, you know, equally represented Hindus and Muslims. South Asian culture is very diverse, so we made sure we had the perspective of each culture that represents South Asia. It's a community-based intervention, which is taught by educator from NU. We had six weekly sessions, on healthy lifestyle behaviors, diet, physical activity, weight, and how to manage stress. We also had telephone counseling using the principles of motivational interviewing, and also fun activities to involve the families.
The SAHALI intervention was very special. It included culturally relevant activities such as taking participants to an Indian and Pakistani grocery stores, We showed them how to make healthy food choices with ethnic food items that they normally ate. And then we had South Asian salad competition. And also the participants had engaged in fun activities such as South Asian music and yoga.
So it was a fun intervention. That's what we heard from MAFS and our participants. This is a process evaluation of that intervention. Bilingual staff who was not involved in the intervention delivery used a semi-structured interview guide to conduct the interviews in Hindi and English based on the participants' preference of language. We had a total of 31 participants in the intervention, out of which 23 participants were randomly selected to participate in these interviews. 20 were conducted by individual phone interviews, and 3 participated in 1 focus group discussion. We also interviewed the staff, MAFS and NU staff, to understand the staff perspective on the CBPR study. All of these interviews were translated, transcribed, and coded by 3 independent reviewers using Atlas TI. Some of the questions we included were, we asked the participants, what were the reasons for participation? What were their thoughts on the classes, the, you know, different activities? What did they like the most? What they did not like? How we could improve the intervention and make it more enjoyable. We also included some additional questions for the staff interviews about the workflow and the staff time. Our participant characteristics, average age of 50 years, 65% were females. That's because majority of our participants were females. 70% Hindus and 30% Muslims. A little over half of our participants did not have healthcare coverage. The qualitative analysis is based on 4 major themes. We'll be talking about different aspects of the why this implementation was a success, the impact on participant behavior, different barriers that we faced with the intervention, and lessons learned and future directions. I'll start with talking about what played a very important role in the implementation success. This came through all the participants' interviews and also from the staff perspective. The CBO played a very important role in this intervention. Not only were they equal partner, I mean the recruitment, retention, it was a safe, trusted space for people, and the people lived around there. And also MAFS staff constantly motivated the participants. They felt at home there. A 43-year-old female saying, because it was at MAFS, I decided quickly to take the class. If it was far or if it was different in timing, then it would be difficult to decide. Also, this intervention was culturally relevant.
Okay, so the class material was culturally tailored. The activities included doing South Asian culture-specific activities, including ethnic foods regularly consumed by the South Asian population. A quote from a 60-year-old female, she said that about eating, I got to know what to eat, how much, what is written, when we had gone to the South Asian grocery store. I didn't know about this. The classes were taught by a South Asian health educator in Hindi who understood the culture. A 43-year-old female said, the teacher guided me very well as if I am from her close family, from same background.
Also, when you're working with the South Asian community, it's very diverse and there's a lot of cultural activities and events that we need to, you know, make sure we understand and adjusted our timeline. Just another example is, the Muslim South Asian people, they celebrate the holy month of Ramadan, during which they fast during the day and break the fast with a meal at night. So it was very important for us to not have our study assessments during that month, since there's restrictions around blood draw as well. So when we started the study, we had our timeline in such a way. In fact, we had to prepone our timeline to make sure the study assessments for a group completed before the month of Ramadan started. So making sure we include those. We also send our participants reminders during the month of Ramadan how they can enjoy a healthy Ramadan. We mail greeting cards to our Hindu participants during Diwali and the Muslim participants during Eid. Also, the study intervention had a positive impact on the participant behavior.
The participants had a positive experience participating in this study. Most people have made a lot of positive changes in their lives. At the community center, they occasionally come to see me, and even now, they tell me that their lives have changed for better with the healthy lifestyle intervention, and they helped their families and friends as well with this. So a 32-year-old female said, we are going in a negative direction, including me. My weight was too much. I would eat anything, but I learned from these classes. Even when I went to Pakistan for 3 months, and since 6 months I have the same weight, all due to these classes. I would remember immediately that this is not good for you, and so I learned the right things.
And this is even after 8 months after the study, I ran into this person and she repeated this. So it seems that, and I think this the study did work, because we presented the study results at the Society of General Internal Medicine recently, and we saw that the intervention participants lost weight and their hemoglobin A1C levels went down. So it seems like this intervention will work. We'll start talking about some of the barriers. Nothing comes without some barriers, especially CBPR work. One of the things that we saw was a participant burden. We were calling, we had very intense study assessments. We were calling participants multiple times to complete their 3 food recalls in person and over the phone. We were calling them for telephone supports, calling them to remind, did you wear your accelerometers? Make sure you start wearing this day and this day. So there were a lot of phone calls, and we thought that was very burdensome for participants. You'll see a quote in the bottom here by a 62-year-old female. So she actually had telephone counseling, but when the evaluator asked her about the telephone counseling, she clearly seems confused. She's thinking it's a food recall. So she's reporting, oh, she used to teach well. She said how much to eat, how much was eaten daily, how much oil, how much flour was in it. She's talking about the food recall. So we think from the staff perspective, the study assessments were burdensome, so we have to in future interventions, be more cognizant about the participant burden.
So when I was recruiting the participants, they had a transportation problem, and soon that we, our MFS driver picked them up and dropped them to their houses. So they enjoyed it very much. There was a huge issue with them. So a 53-year-old participant, I'm just quoting him. Vehicle used to bring us and drop us, used to drop us home too. We like that that we are going to come and going sitting in a vehicle, and they used to pick everyone else up.
So this is from the staff perspective. CBPR work and being in a community is definitely takes up more time. The NU staff as well as the MAFS staff understood. So this is what a MAFS staff member said. They were assigned to work on this project 20 hours a week, but this is not counting the weekend hours when the classes were held. As a healthy lifestyle intervention, we were cooking healthy meals and kind of having our participants taste them. So she was going grocery shopping for these things. So it's definitely more intense, and we have to allocate more resources towards the staff time, especially for the CBO, and that was identified. Linkage to healthcare, like how I presented before, over a half of our participants did not have healthcare. And that was challenging for us. We had, in fact, a lot of participants who had never seen a primary care physician, and this was their first blood test, and they found they had diabetes, and it was really hard for us. We tried to refer them to a MAFS staff who was in charge of signing up people for Affordable Care Act. So we had a few success stories where these people could get some continuation of care by obtaining the coverage and just being in contact with MAFS where they could find this resource. We'll talk about the MAFS perspective on this study.
Working on this project has benefited MAFS in many ways, not only on a personal level. I have learned about healthy lifestyle, but also we are able to contribute to the community and also collaborate with Northwestern University, which is a very reputed institution. We have learned a lot of things about improving health, research, scientific papers, and presentations.
We have co-authored multiple presentations together, and also we are here at APHA together. And some of the lessons learned, this is something we learned, when we asked people, they said, why are you just including one person from the family? It's very important to incorporate a family, especially with a lifestyle intervention. The men were not cooking food, their wives were cooking food for them. And also, the woman said, to make a change, they need to include the entire family. So that definitely came up. Although we were careful about including women-only activities during exercise, because from our prior work, we know that's important, this still came up when we had one family event when we had men and women together doing yoga. So even then it came up with a 59-year-old female saying, the only thing I think we should have is a ladies separate and men separate, because when the men are in the same room, the ladies don't feel comfortable, it is a problem for the ladies. So it's very important, especially with physical activity interventions, to make sure you have women-only activities, and trying to allocate more resources to the CBO to cover for the staff time and transportation costs. Trying to reduce the participant burden. Here's some perspective from NU staff saying, you know, you could either try to do less intense or some other alternative ways of study assessments to reduce the participant burden. And I mean, we all know this is really hard, but we tried at some level trying to, you know, create a better linkage for healthcare, especially when you're, you know, working with underserved communities, trying to find a referral system, especially in different languages where you can try and refer them to other resources in the community for healthcare. Some of the limitations of this study are a small sample size, and we cannot generalize these because these come from, you know, a small group of recent immigrants in Chicago, not a small actually, a big group of recent immigrants in the Chicagoland community. In conclusion, participants had a very positive experience in this community-based culturally salient cardiovascular disease prevention intervention. The participants definitely appreciated the community setting as an intervention site. The effectiveness of this intervention could be improved by incorporating the family and addressing the barriers of participant burden. And cultural and linguistic concordance of interventionists and cultural values are key considerations when we develop any health intervention for South Asians and also for any other ethnic minority groups. And last but not the least, thank our co-authors, Mansi, Ankita, who conducted the interviews, Dr. Kandula, who's a PI on the study, and Santosh Kumar, who's the ED of MAFS, our community advisory board members, study participants, MAFS staff, and NIH for funding this study. Thank you. Sure.
My name is Richa, and I'm from a community-based organization in New York. Could you talk a little bit about your educators, like, were they affiliated with NU, are they affiliated with MAFS, and what their background is?
Right, so the health educator is from Northwestern, and this was a very controlled, I mean, this was the first study, so they were trained by a registered dietitian at Northwestern, so they did come from Northwestern. But the future interventions, our goal is to transfer this to a community-based organization who can, you know, train their educators, and so we are applying for a grant to do that. Yes.
I thought this was funded by NHLBI. Mm-hmm. Partner, to what extent did, since it was a CPR approach, did you decide that lifestyle intervention of heart disease was the primary concern that you wanted to focus on, or other things that were more important than the community members?
Difficult.
Go ahead, yeah. So, I mean, we hear from them. Go ahead, yeah.
I don't want to hear from you, I know.
So, actually, we talked to them about this, and then, you know, they came up, you know, and they were the ones who did everything with it.
So as a member of the community, are there other concerns that are equally or more valid for the Devon population?
Basically, I think in South Asians we have more the heart disease type of, you know, questions that, you know, diabetes is a major concern. Cholesterol is a major concern because we are obese, you know, even though most of them are vegetarians or partially, they're obese because of the oil and cholesterol and saturated fats that we eat, a lot of fried foods. And and then, you know, that they did hemoglobin A1C and all this. So that was our concern. You know, we at the community center, we have a lot of South Asian participants or South Asian population, and then we chose our participants from them.
So at some level did come from them actually, because diabetes is a very big concern, and like I said, when we started the partnership, they saw what we do and they were very excited and they wanted to take this further on, which is why we have this relationship for 10 years now.
Maybe you might want to talk about the community
Sure. So, I mean, our community advisory board, the MAFS are the ones who helped us select our community advisory boards. They made sure we had equal representation from all the different groups, and they would, you know, come across, tell us what are the concerns of the community. We've worked on different things before, so this is kind of based on our prior formative work. You know, we started with some focus groups on physical what are the physical activity levels of South Asians, and we found that they're very low, they're very sedentary, so we need to do something about it. And then heart attack, I mean, you hear, you know, every day you're there, you'll hear, you know, oh, this person's brother got a heart attack. So that's definitely a big concern that MAFS wants to address.
Right. And most everyone has high blood pressure and all that. Definitely, because they don't want to go in buses, public transportation, and, you know, pay the money, and maybe they have time issues and a lot of things involved in there. So, yeah, if we provide transportation from their homes to the center and from the center to their homes, that's very good for them. They enjoy that. Many of them work, and you know, they're making time, and then if they go with public transport, they have to kind of, you know, take more time, because many of us, you know, and then the participants also were working during the weekdays and sometimes in the weekend, so it's better for us to, you know, provide the public transportation, I mean the transportation by our van rather than the public transportation.
Right, and I mean, like, you're talking about the sustainability of these interventions without providing. So, I mean, we had a total of 3 cohorts, out of which we really needed to provide transportation to the cohort that were coming in the, you know, harsh winter months of Chicago. So we did have 2 cohorts who traveled by themselves. So, I mean, definitely it helped during those winter months. For the first session, although we had a full attendance, people were, you know, an hour late, and that's when we decided, you know, let's give them transportation, make it easier for them. And again, this is a group of people who work 15 hours a day, and they still made the time to come in for the 6-week intervention, which is great considering they, you know, we were really impressed. We had 100% retention in our study, and 78% of our study participants participated in the group classes, and they wanted to come for the makeup classes. So we did offer some makeup sessions. So overall, 100% of our participants got. So they were really motivated and wanted to learn. Correct. I mean, this was a pilot study, really. So we tried to actually, collaborate with some of the business owners on Devon Avenue and see if they would want to send their employers, for example, a big grocery store there, if they could open up their store an hour before the class. So we tried some of these strategies. They definitely took more time and would include us, going to them probably pretty much every day, and we did not have those resources. Unfortunately, but they were willing. Our class sizes varied from 8 people to 12 people in some of the classes.
So for the audience, if you don't mind, just please share your name and affiliation with them. Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank
you.
I
have one question. Carol Ann from Johns Hopkins University. When we work with community partners, one of the common yet
not too frequently spoken challenges, of course, has to do with this financial issue. Because apparently when we work with company partners, we have to respect their time and the staff, you know, engagement and things like that. So I'd like to hear from your team who, you know, brought this wonderful project to the audience today, about your experience, how you were able to negotiate some of this work load, and then some of the financial issues that really is part of this whole picture.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we signed a memorandum of understanding before we, you know, started working together that, you know, this much money would be given to the community organization. And but it very clearly, within the first couple of months, we realized, like we said, the workload for the community organization was much more. And they talked about these issues to us. So we would meet monthly, and you would go to MAFS, you know. NU is from downtown Chicago, and they're located in Devon Avenue. It's easier for us to come to them than, you know, with the parking issues. And within a couple months, when they addressed the issue of, the staff workload, we actually transferred some funds from the NU side to the community organization to cover 80% of this MAFS staff member's salary. So we did try and negotiate. We work with Alliance for Research in Chicagoland Communities, which is a great organization for us. They're situated at Northwestern University. They really help with collaboration of community, you know, work and research. And we would go to them when something comes up, and they would direct us to some additional funding. You know, they have some small pockets of pilot seed grants, and they would direct us to them, and we would apply. So, for example, for dissemination for this, we did not have any money. So we had to transfer those funds for the main work. But now we obtained a small funding of $2,000 to disseminate this into the community via a town hall. So we've been very fortunate with working with MAFS, and I think our partnership, with our partnership, we can see we're able to make a difference in people's lives.
And definitely, they are. These doctors are out there, yes. Dr. Dove and Dr. Kandula, yes.
Any other questions? All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.